T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Elliott Shore Parks, brought to you by your Tri-State Toyota dealers, proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. ESP, what's up, dude?
What's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Well, I see...
you ought to be excited this week. Your team comes to town?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm most excited because I'm playing you in fantasy this weekend.
Right. So,
What's your record, Elliott?
We're both 3-4, if I remember correctly. I think you're just ahead of me because you scored more points.
Oh.
Yeah, I stink. This has been a bad year.
Well, the decision I have to make is, so you have Carson Wentz, at least for now, you have him as your starting quarterback. I have Jalen Hurts on my roster. Do I start Jalen Hurts opposite Carson just for the fun of it, or do I start
yes.
my normal quarterback?
Yeah, I think you know. Go ahead and start Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, you're just saying that because you want to win.
Well, Elliott, I see Jeff McClain a minute ago tweeted out that the Eagles have placed Jannard Avery and Nate Gary on reserve injured.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So what was the Nate Gary injury? I knew he was listed and he didn't practice, but I didn't realize that he had something serious.
Yeah, he suffered an ankle injury, so he's been out of practice this week. Obviously it's semi-serious if they put him on IR. Now, obviously, with the difference this year, he's only out 3 weeks as opposed to 8, I think it was on the last one. But I know fans are not going to be too upset to hear Nate Gary is not playing the next 3 games. I would just caution them at saying whoever they put out there, the coaching staff thought Nate Gary was better. So we'll see this Sunday night.
Ike pointed out Nate Gary he's like top 10 in tackles.
Well, he's number 5 last week. Yeah, he's the top 5 in tackles.
He does
in the
get
league.
A lot of tackles. I will say that. He just misses a lot of them as well.
Yes, he does. So the injury report's coming out soon. Is Dallas Goedert going to play on Sunday night, you think, Elliott?
I think there's a pretty good chance. I mean, they already had 2 open roster spots prior to making these moves. So now they have 4. You expect Jalen Reagor to be one of those. Jason Peters will be one of them, which leaves him 2 more. Now, I would think Goddard has a pretty good chance of being that guy. I mean, he's been at practice this week. Practice was closed on Thursday, but they live streamed it, and I saw Goddard out there with the helmet on, running routes, catching passes, and he looked good. So I think there's a pretty good chance he does play on Sunday.
Yeah, I saw him run one route in warmups, and I declared him healthy and ready to go.
Yeah.
I mean, like, seriously, you don't look that good and that fluid in warm-up, and then you're not ready to go 5 days later. So
I would also say with the bye week coming up, I would think if they didn't think there was a realistic chance, they would have just had him wait to start practicing until after that bye week to give him more time. So the fact that he's out there – and, look, I know the records are not great, but this is still a huge game.
Yes.
I
mean,
yes.
So you need Dallas Goedert out there.
Mm. So, I mean, so Lane Johnson's really kind of the question now, and, for a couple different reasons. First of all, if he doesn't play, then Jordan Mailata is playing right tackle, because it seems like Jason Peters is back at starting left tackle, right?
Yeah, Doug talked today, and his answer I thought was, he didn't say it outright, but just reading Doug, it seems pretty clear they're going to go with Jason Peters at left tackle if he does play. He kind of compared it to when Nelson Aguilar got benched in 2016, it was, and how he had the ability to learn from the sideline and watching other players get out there. So I think it will be Jason Peters at left tackle and then obviously Lane Johnson at right tackle if they're both able to play.
Doug had said on Wednesday that more or less it's up to, I'm not going to tell Lane that he can't play if he wants to play. I don't think that's a good idea. It's pretty clear to me that Lane would benefit from this week, next week, bye week, and then maybe he's actually healthy because him coming on and off the field isn't good for anybody.
No.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I think that they've kind of had the strategy. I mean, I remember Doug said pretty much, I think it was in training camp or the first week of the season, this is something Lane's going to be dealing with all season. So I think they knew coming in that this is what it was going to be. He had the ankle surgery during training camp, even though it was an injury from last year. So I think they just expected him to kind of push it through. I personally agree with you that I would just sit him down, let him rest up, get to 100%. It's not like they're going to have to get to 9 wins to win the division. So, you do have an opportunity to sit him. But like Doug said, if he's ready to play and he wants to play, they're apparently going to let him go out there and do it.
Yeah, that has to speak to what they're seeing from the young guys out there. Would you think, Elliott, I mean, even though they won last week, Carson Wentz still is being hit an awful lot. I know it's not all because of the offensive line. Some of it is his own doing. But still, the protection still breaks down. And for my side of things, they still don't run the ball effectively enough. So, to me, it almost seems that's why Doug is more encouraging of Lane or Jason coming back as opposed to telling them to pump their brakes. We don't really need you right now. Like, they really want these guys back out there.
Well, and I think it's kind of similar to the receiver debate we've had this season about, okay, do you play the older guys because they're better, or do you play the younger guys to get them reps? And I think with the receivers, you could say, you know what, put the younger guys out there. But when it comes to the offensive line, I'm not using any reps for developmental in front of a quarterback I've paid $120 million to. Like, you put the five best guys out there. You put whoever you think has the best chance of protecting Carson. Because in the long run, yes, is it not great for the franchise if you don't get Jordan Mailata all these snaps, if you don't know he's a left tackle, or if you don't see Jack Driscoll at right tackle? Yeah, that's not ideal. But the worst thing that could happen to this franchise is Carson Wentz suffering another season-ending injury. Then you have a huge question mark at quarterback. So they have got to put the five best offensive linemen out there, not worry about developmental, not worry about young guys. Just make sure you protect the quarterback.
Yeah, and we're talking to Elliot. Here's the thing. I think it has to do less with that, and it has more to do with this is Jason Peters, and this is his job, and it's there when he wants it, when he comes back. He didn't play poorly enough to where you could justify saying, listen, we're benching you, and Jordan Mailata probably didn't play well enough to where you were forced to make a difficult decision. But, I mean, I'm not any less worried about Carson Wentz getting his head taken off with either one of the tackles, mm-hmm. right? Not at all.
Oh, I am.
Well, I think they've played semi-comparable. I think Mailata is at giving up pressure about every 13 snaps, and Jason Peters was doing it about every 14 snaps. So they were playing at a comparable level. I just think ultimately, if Jeff Stoutland, and I hope that's the one who's making the decision, right? I don't want Howie Rosen making this decision. I don't want Jeffrey Lurie making this
decision. This is not Jeff Stoutland's decision, Elliot. Don't be naive. This is Jason Peters' decision.
Well, I think Jason Peters has something to do with it, but I do think Jeff Stoutland has probably just as much say, if not more say, when it comes to who's on that offensive line than Doug does. I mean, he's one of the most respected coaches in that building, and if he says, I think Jason Peters is a better left tackle, then you put Jason Peters out there, flat out.
Mm. All right, how are you feeling going into the game? We did this yesterday. There were some polls that were put out there from our show, from the morning show, and like 60% of people were like, yeah, we could lose this game. I don't feel like that. I feel great about this game. How about you?
Yeah, look, the Eagles can lose any game. We've seen them this season. They are not a good enough team to be favored by, I think it was 9 points last time I looked.
9.5.
They're just not. I mean, they turn the ball over. They commit bad penalties. We've seen, I mean, they beat the Giants, but for 70% of that game, everybody was sitting there saying this is a terrible team. So it's certainly possible they could lose. But I will say, after watching some of the Cowboys this week, you're going to see on Sunday night the difference between a good organization that's having a bad year and just a franchise that is in complete disarray. I mean, they are poorly coached. They look like they quit on each other. It's just been a complete disaster for the Cowboys. So I do think that Sunday night will make Eagles fans probably appreciate Howie, Doug, and Carson just a little bit more. That being said, 9 points is still a lot of points. So I think they're going to win the game, but I don't know if they'll cover.
Mm.
See, we're all scared of that nine.
A lot of points.
A lot of points for a 2-4-1 team.
Exactly. That's a lot of points, man. A
lot of points. Elliot, before you became a Cowboy fan, what was your first memory of the Eagles and Cowboys?
You know, ironically enough, my first memory was probably the pickle juice game growing up, I would say. So I don't have to age
you. How old are you,
25?
Oh, wow. That was a shot at me. That's what that was.
I mean, seriously, it probably was, I would say.
Oh, my God.
What year was that?
That was 2000. It was 2000, Elliot.
All right, so I was 13. I don't remember much before I was 13. Please tell
right.
When it comes to football. Yeah.
Well, that's a good one. That's a great Eagles memory. See, Ike, he's the guy that hasn't suffered as an Eagle fan, right? Like, he didn't suffer like some of our
fans.
Yeah,
have never really been relevant for my, like, sports lifetime, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, Jack's either. Who's older, you or Jack?
Elliot.
Well, Jack's like 12, right?
Yeah, Jack's in his mid-20s. Elliot's, I believe, 33.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I turned 33 on Monday. That's a good guess by you.
Monday's your birthday?
Monday's the birthday, yeah.
Wow.
It wasn't a Monday, huh?
Wasn't a guess. You said you were 13 in 2000, so I...
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, you did the math quickly. There you go. Good job, buddy.
he was the only one because I damn sure didn't do it. Yeah.
All right, what's the final score on Sunday night? What's your official prediction?
I think they'll win 27-20. That would be my guess. I think they do just enough on offense. We are encouraged, and the defense just enough where you're still frustrated.
All right.
All right.
There he is.
All right.
Elliot, thank you. We'll be.
All right, brother. Happy birthday, Monday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Talk to you Sunday night for that pregame show. I'll maybe change my
score. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'll talk to you Sunday night. That's right. Yes.
All right, Elliot.
All right, brother.
Be good, man.
Yes.
There's Elliot.
Forget I'm pregame show Sunday night.
Yes. Don't forget that, Ike. You have pre- and post-game duties.
Yeah, but this will be the first Sunday night at home. So that means I'll be at home all day, and then I have to come over here.
To do the pregame.
6, right? Yeah, for the 6 o'clock show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That'll be a little weird for me, coming over at Sunday night at 6.
Yeah, when have you ever been here at Sunday at 6 o'clock?
I don't think I've ever been here Sunday.
No, because you're at the stadium.
Yeah.
Now we do it from here, the home games. All right, let's get back into it. 215-592-9494. Seth Joyner is going to join us at 4 o'clock. We will get his we obviously want to know what he thinks about this game and this team, but also his memories from his games.
Oh, man.
As an Eagle.
I know I'm going to need my neck roll for that segment.
You are going to need your neck roll for that segment because the Bounty Bowl. Let's talk about the Bounty Bowl for a second, and we'll get back to the phones. 1989 Thanksgiving Day in Dallas. So the Eagles cut kicker Luis Endejas a couple weeks before this game. He was terrible. He was 6-12 on field goals from 30 yards and out. So he was 50% on real field goals, right? So he got cut. On the way out the door, Buddy didn't call him or anything to tell him he was cut. Al Roberts, who was the special teams coach, he called him. And Luis Endejas was upset it wasn't the head coach. So he was quoted as calling Buddy Ryan classless for not calling him to tell him that he was cut, right? I mean, does the head coach always tell players they're cut?
Not that I know of. I mean, I was only cut once, and that's when I was in Atlanta. Not only did the head coach not call me, he got fired. I don't even know who the hell called me from the front office.
Right. Well, the kicker was upset.
It wasn't the GM either.
The kicker was upset that he got cut and Buddy didn't call him. So now the Cowboys sign him.
Although Andy did call me when they didn't re-sign me.
Well, that's it.
But
Andy.
I was a free agent. I wasn't cut.
Right.
That was a free agency.
But, and believe me, I'm sure Buddy Ryan didn't like Luis Endejas and would have never called him, right? I don't know how classy Buddy was.
He didn't even know Luis Endejas.
He hated him, right? So it was Troy Aikman's rookie year. The Cowboys enter the game 1-10. The Eagles are 7-4. It's 10-0 at half. So the Cowboys are kicking off to start the second half, the third quarter. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted out a video of this. It's a really nice 5-6 minute of everything. But Jesse Small, who was the rookie linebacker, so he's lined up on kickoff return, and he is all the way over by the sideline. So Zendejas kicks it off, and Small makes literally a beeline right for Luis Endejas. Endejas sees him coming because he was tipped off that someone was going to go after him in the game. Mm-hmm. He makes a beeline for him. He kind of ducks to avoid the contact. Small still hits him, and Endejas gets called for a penalty for a low block. So they threw the flag on Endejas on the play. Mm. But Endejas got up because he got kneed in the head, and he was all over the place and wobbling and dizzy and everything else, and that is the Bounty Bowl.
Yes, sir.
Supposedly $200 was put on Luis Endejas, and $500 on Troy Aikman. And he was roughed up a little bit, too.
That's a lot of money in the 90s.
Yeah, really?
Man, you like somebody didn't get killed.
Seriously.
Offer me $500 in the 90s.
Yeah, so Britt Hager, in the first half of the game, it was down by the Cowboys were at like the 6-7 yard line. He blitzes, but the call, you know, it's like a, I don't know if it was a timeout or a false start or something. And Hager throws Troy Aikman to the ground.
Anyway, yeah.
And it literally goes into a fight where Kevin Gogan is literally with Jerome Brown. He has his hands up and they're boxing each other.
Now that's classic. that's classic.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's classic. Yeah.
So that's the Bounty Bowl.
Yeah. That's good old football back then, man.
Yeah.
That's good football back then. You can't do that stuff nowadays.
No.
Bounty bowls and all that.
No, we saw what happened with bounties and Nolans.
Right, the Saints. Yeah, exactly.
So that was one of the moments that I realized I love hating the Cowboys. This is fun. This is awesome.
And I remember that situation from afar. It obviously became national news. But the whole idea that Buddy Ryan was going after.
He put a bounty on the
kicker. Yeah, exactly. I love that, man. I love that. I tell you, I was like that Eagles fan, like you know when you're not like a diehard fan, but you're like, I like that team, man. Something about that team. They got Randall Cunningham, the black quarterback. They wear the black cleats.
The
right,
defense
with the
is
green,
crushing
the
people.
The defense is killing people. Yeah.
Randall's hurtling
it,
all
it
over.
It was just something. Yeah, and he was the human highlight film.
It was a popular team for teams outside of the NFC East. Why wouldn't you root for a team like
the
that,
team
right?
I like, yes.
And that was our team, man.
Yeah.
And that was our team. And it was always such a disappointment that they didn't really do much at all. And then they were broken up and it was over. All right, back to the phones. Melvin in South Philly. Melvin, when did you know you hated the Cowboys? What's going on?
It was about 1994. I was playing Little League football in West Philly. School started that year. My dad bought me two football jerseys, a white Randall jersey and a blue Troy Aikman jersey. You know, I was going to school, so the white Randall jersey, that was part of my school lineup every week. So I said, let me wear my Troy Aikman jersey to Little League practice. At the same time, I was the quarterback. So wasn't no live hitting on a quarterback during practice. But when I wore that jersey to practice that day, my coach blew the whistle and said, all right, everybody, live hits on the quarterback today. He got on a Cowboy jersey, put me in the middle of the ball in the ring. And at the end of practice, my coach told me I better not never wear a Cowboy jersey out in his field again.
Wow.
Good coaching.
That was the moment. That was the moment I knew I forever hated the Cowboys.
Yeah, you knew it was real at that moment, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Definitely real.
Bull in the ring. They don't allow you to do that anymore these days either, do they?
They don't allow that. They don't allow 2-a-days no more. Nothing.
Oh, man, these kids, I'm telling you, man, they don't know what real football
is. Explain bull in a ring.
Oh, bull in a ring is when, like, one person is out there in the middle, right?
And he's looking for people to hit?
Yeah,
or
the coach calls a different person out, and you're just chopping your feet. Right? Am I explaining this right, Melvin? That's how you do it, right?
Yeah, our coach used to be in the middle, standing, chopping your feet, and the coach would just walk around the outside and just randomly just tap.
Right.
And they come at you. You got to turn around and hit
them. Yeah.
Get up and do it all over again until the coach called you out and put somebody else in the middle.
That's awesome. What do you think of the game on Sunday, Mel?
Eagles win. I don't believe in that 9-point spread though, but the Eagles definitely win the game.
My man. Thank you, Melvin. Jack, did you do similar things with baseball? Growing up, no.
No, I don't think so. I mean, obviously, there's no contact. We'd do some. I did running poles. That was fun, but no,
running poles.
Yeah, you run foul pole to foul pole.
Yes,
build that leg strength. I mean, that's why I got.
You didn't
such,
do pepper.
That's why I got such horse legs. Yeah, no, we did pepper, but pepper was like a game. It wasn't like
what's
a,
pepper?
It's like where the there's like one batter, I guess, per se, and you kind of throw the ball at him. You kind of bunts it to guys standing around to work on hands and whatnot.
Oh, okay. That was called pepper?
Yeah. Like you'll see sometimes. Sometimes you'll see.
Oh yeah, I see the drill. No, I never knew the name of it.
So sometimes you'll see in stadiums they'll say no pepper games.
Ah.
I don't know if they have that anymore, but that was something you'd see at parks. No pepper games. I don't know why they didn't want pepper games, but whatever.
Huh.
Back to the phones. Bruce, the weatherman's ready to talk.
Baseball
Bruce.
Practice has to be the easiest practice.
Very easy. Look at Jack. Yeah. Bruce.
John, I have to side with you on this one. Okay. This goes back to yesterday. I waited quite a while, and I never got through. But your optimism for the game is well-placed. And
right.
Ike, as the president of the LTBB, I'm ashamed of you.
Uh-oh.
I mean, my goodness. Yesterday, you sounded like a Debbie Downer.
I did?
It was just terrible. Yeah, you're worried about the game. Let me tell you something. Here's what's going to happen in the game.
Okay, tell me.
The Bronco is going to throw at least 3 touchdowns. That's number one.
Okay.
The defense is going to get at least 6 sacks on this kid. You can bank it.
Okay.
Final score 31-9 with 3 field goals for Dallas. That's the deal right
nice.
There.
Listen, I hope you're right, Bruce.
Well, listen, I bank it. I'll call you Monday. And eat crow if I'm wrong. But I think they're going to beat the spread. Now, let's talk about my horrible time with Dallas, and I think you'll remember this.
Okay.
1996. Let's go way back to 1996. December or November. I can't remember which month it was. So he's playing Dallas. All they had to do at the end of the game was kick a field goal from the 2-yard line. Do you know the game I'm talking about, Ike?
It's a Monday Night Football game.
No, I don't.
Yes, it was.
He wasn't on the team yet.
He wasn't on the team.
Bruce,
well,
no.
What happened was the ball handler muffed the
Tommy
ball.
Hutton. Yes, Tommy Hutton dropped
an easy
snap.
I do remember that. Yes, I do. I wasn't on it in the game, but I do remember that. Yes.
I was sitting with a bunch of Dallas fans, and I said, you know what? you're going to lose the game to think, huh? Well, he still has to kick the ball. And when he didn't kick the ball, they said, oh, man, you were right. One more thing, guys, before I hang up here. It is Arctic cold out here now. We had all kinds of power outages here with the wind last night, 3 inches of rain. And I want my props, Ike. I told you days ago this was coming.
Oh, so, yeah. Listen, I'm with you. Yes, you get your props. You're our official weatherman.
Thank you. I never doubted you. Yeah, I mean, I looked on my iPhone weather app, too, and it told me the same thing. I know Bruce knows what he's talking about, but Jack, are we giving credit for getting the forecast right?
I guess.
Man, get his man his credit, man. He's our official weatherman.
I know.
Yeah, no. He gave us the heads up.
He did. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't necessarily looking ahead to see what the forecast was on Friday. It was cold this morning. He's right.
I checked the trash out. I usually just check it on my app on my phone.
Right, I do, too.
Y'all wrong, man.
Yeah, no, it's nothing. It's just I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's good to know that we have somebody that's paying attention for the show.
And Bruce, you're coming after me, telling me to give you props. Listen to these two.
Well, that's because you've been verbally attacking him on the air about the LCBB.
It's been uncomfortable with you two.
It's trying to be a harmonious relationship, and you're not letting it happen.
No, but Bruce is the one not letting it happen either because he attacks Ike today, which was unnecessary.
We're going to have to settle this one way or another.
Yeah,
he hasn't. You know why he attacked me today? Because he hasn't gotten over I called him out.
I know.
About wavering on the LTBB.
You aggressively a couple times.
Oh, I had to.
Yeah.
I had to. I was telling the truth.
Oh, that's because Bruce wasn't the only one. You know, there's a lot of people out there. Not me and Ike, but there's a lot of members of the LTBB that were wavering.
Yeah, but
in their
here's
support.
The thing. The frequent callers that call in, they just didn't call in.
Exactly.
Bruce made the mistake of calling in and publicly wavering.
There's the point right there.
All you had to do was take the week off.
Man, take the week off, brother. Stay out of the public eye right now, man. That's all you had to do.
He can't help himself. That's how emotional he was.
He had to come and basically bare his soul.
He did.
And talk about how nervous he is and this and that and the other. Buck up, Bruce.
Back to your phone calls next. We talked yesterday about the confidence level. Are you still worried about this game on Sunday night? Say it ain't so. Eagles Cowboys week. And the moment you knew you hated the Cowboys.
He tried to say I was whining yesterday.
He did.
You were a little mopey.
I was whining yesterday?
Yeah, well, you're like all terrified of Ben DiNucci. Meanwhile, me and John Philly guys are getting the city riled up.
Damn right.
We can't do that. We try.
Last I looked yesterday, most of the city sided with me on that.
Yeah, because you scared the whole city. You turned the city into a bunch of cowards, man.
Ike, we had a full board of people that said not worried about the game. By the time they made it to the line, they were worried about the game. You influence. Influencer,
love,
everybody.
Love, Ike Reese.
Marks and Reese, your phone call's next, your confidence level heading into the game. The moment you knew you hated the Dallas Cowboys. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.